During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Christy Williams. Do you ever fear at all, though? Do you ever have any sort of fear for your safety or anything with the sheer power that these things seem to have? I mean, ripping a mannequin off of the brick base, moving furniture, things of that nature. Have you ever had any moments where you're like, okay, maybe this is, you know, this is kind of getting a little bit much?
I think maybe in the beginning I did, you know, I was kind of worried. I mean, there's some things that I have recorded from that building that I don't really think other people have ever had the ability to capture on film, you know, and just the, it's not like, oh, well, maybe I see something or maybe I heard something. It's some pretty blatant stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I think in the beginning, I kind of felt that way. But at this point, I feel like, you know, they just kind of, they're used to me and they're used to my business partners. I mean, we spend a lot of time there. We work on the building. We're not trying to tear it down. We're not, you know, it's kind of funny because before any group comes in, before any event that I do or that I let in there, I will say, all right, guys, this is how we keep your building. We have a lot of repairs to make. So if you're going to keep it, you better entertain. I do this every time, and it's I don't know if they're listening to me or if they're just doing their normal thing, but we have yet to have anybody come in there and say nothing happened. They do. Sometimes they do. They'll come in and they'll leave and oh, nothing really happened. And then the next morning they're like, oh wait. And they'll send us a whole list of everything that actually happened.
Wow.
And so it's kind of funny. Like, I don't know if they just aren't really thinking about it or who knows. It's the strangest thing. That doesn't happen a lot. I've had people come in there who have been, you know, to some of the most haunted locations in the United States. I had someone, a friend of mine who actually went to Waverly Hills with us. He stayed there for a weekend and said it was the most haunted place he's ever been in. So I'm liking that. They can keep saying that. So
did you see
it can get intense in there.
Did you see an increase in the activity there when you started putting oddities and haunted objects into the building?
Yeah, it's definitely getting more and more active. And the thing is, you know, people ask us like, I guess the point is we're not looking for haunted objects. It wasn't about haunted objects. It was about initially we started because the three of us are all oddities collectors in a sense. And so we all just had some at home. And so we were kind of like, well, let's put it on display. And then I said, you know, most of my oddities are pieces of things from other haunted locations. Like, let's bring them in there. It's just kind of a cool thing for people to see. Mm-hmm. You know, we now have like I have tiles from the floor from Goldfield Hotel, you know, and I'm going to just say this outright. None of this is ever like, we don't steal anything from any location. We either buy things from the locations and a lot of times locations give them to us. But you know, I want to make sure everybody knows that we would never steal from anyone. Just because a lot of people do that kind of thing and it's very wrong.
Sure.
That's my disclaimer. But that's kind of how it started, was with, Jeremy has the blueprints for Waverly Hills. So they're hanging on the walls, and we have the vest from one of the life vests from the Queen Mary. So just things like that, that we just had. Mm-hmm. And then it started growing, and then people started calling, and I have this rocking chair that rocks on its own, and my wife died in it, so I don't want to destroy it. Will you take it? Okay. Haunted dolls. And that's just what's, it's just been growing and growing and growing. And of course, we're always finding weird things. We have African death masks and human bones. And, somebody actually just gave me one of Marie Laveau's voodoo dolls. So that will be on display fairly soon. So,
wow. How, yeah. When you have, guests and such come in there, how do you, protect not only yourself, but your guests from the risks that are associated with being in such a haunted location? Is there any kind of ground rules that you set for people when they come in, so they're not doing, non-best practices that are going to, stir things up in a way you don't want them stirred up?
Yeah, well, we definitely don't allow Ouija boards in there. And I mean, I have my own opinion of Ouija boards. I think they've become more of a, they've just been given a bad name, but I don't really think they're that dangerous. But we don't want, people who are going to sacrifice themselves on a Ouija board or something,
Yeah.
So we kind of made, there are some rules like that. Like, you can't, obviously there's no open flames. There's no, Ouija boards. There's no, we have a whole, what do you call it? A waiver that you sign, mm-hmm. That there's certain things you can and cannot do. But also in the waiver, it says, hey, if you are here and you do something stupid and you get possessed, that's on you. You can't sue us for it. things like that.
I'd love to see what the legal wording is for that paragraph.
I'll send you a copy of the contract. Actually, it's kind of crazy because the contract itself, because we're a legal business. We are an LLC. We sure do have insurance, so we've protected ourselves quite well. And one of the things the lawyer said is that we do need to have a waiver. They did look over our waiver. They said that it was really good. It's unfortunately a 3-page waiver, but it was actually taken partly from when you go into Zach Beggin's museum, part of his waiver, mm-hmm. and then the Washu Club. And so they kind of worded some things really good. And, because we actually went to a lot of different places and read their waivers and took bits and pieces and said, we definitely need this. Maybe sure. we don't need that. And so when the lawyers read it, they were just kind of like, wow, yeah, this works great. And then with addition to that, you have to put signs up like, because we don't allow people to profit off of photos and videos and things unless we have an agreement with them or whatever. I mean, they can sure. do whatever they want.
Yeah.
But of course, if they start really profiting, they have to have an agreement with us. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that kind of goes into it. It's run like a business. Mm-hmm. It's the weirdest. What do you do for a living? I own a haunted museum.
Yeah. Who would have thought that one could change or turn childhood interests from unsolved mysteries into a livelihood? I've done the same thing with podcasts and talking about ghost stories. Some things that I never would have contemplated back in the days of watching Robert Stack. tell me about the history of the haunted clown puppet, Peacebottom. What is the backstory on that, and how did it come into your possession?
So we have several, we call them our craft dealers, all over the country, there are a lot of oddities retail, a lot of people who buy and sell oddities. And every now and then, God, we have probably one in probably like 15 to 20 states by now. But whenever they get something in that they think would fit well, or I don't know, oddities are kind of strange because I think there's a couple of, dealers who are just like, they'll get an item in and they just feel like it belongs to us. Mm-hmm. My partner Polson, he's really good at that. He does a lot of that. He finds a lot of the cool stuff. But if they feel like it's a good fit for one of us, they will call and say, hey, we just got this item in. Peacebottom, however, is kind of a strange one because the guy who had him, He actually owns the, it's a Voodoo's Odd Shop in Omaha. We buy a lot of stuff from him, so I got to give him some props here. But he managed to get Peace Bottom, and the guy who owned Peace Bottom wanted him to sell him for quite a bit of money. And the owner of the Voodoo Odd Shop was like, I'll put him on display, but I'm not selling him for that much money. And in the process of all of this, myself and both my business partners were trying to get Peace Bottom. It was just kind of one of those things where we all just knew we had to have him, but none of us knew the other ones were trying to buy Peace Bottom. So then finally the guy lowers his price, whatever. And we find out that Peace Bottom's been sold, and we were all kind of disappointed. And then Jeremy goes, yeah, too bad I'm the one who bought them. And we were like, what?
Yeah.
And so we finally realized we were literally the three people, you know, the main three people trying to get them. So I think he was going to end up with us regardless. So the story of Peace Bottom, he was this little puppet made by elderly women in the German concentration camps in Germany in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. And so there was the story. It's kind of, there was an aunt that was going to the birthday party of her nephew, and she was last minute gift shopping and saw this puppet and said, okay, that's what I'll get. On her way to the party, she gets in a really bad car accident, and ends up in a coma for 2 years. And if I'm remembering right, it was 2 years later, she finally gave this puppet to her nephew. Well, the nephew had the puppet, and he started just having a lot of issues, a lot of problems. Well, the parents then started to relate the issues and the problems to the puppet, and they started noticing there was a lot of weird, strange things happening. And they tried to take the puppet away from the kid. And that's when like crazy stuff, like people started dying. And the story is basically that this puppet has the ability to possess children and cause them to do all kinds of, you know, really bad things as far as killing other people and possessing other people and just things like that. So you're not supposed to look into his eyes too long. And any owner who has him will come under a lot of fire, you know, just have a lot of bad luck, a lot of bad things happen. Mm-hmm. So far, Jeremy's been doing all right. So that's
that's a positive.
That's the good news. Yes. But when we got him, he was in a wooden box with chicken wire, you know, around. So you can see in there, and this is a wooden frame with chicken wire. And then he has chains around him. There's a cross hanging inside and a coin. And the coin was said to be a peace offering from the last owner. And so since then we've put him into a glass display case we just keep everything locked up because people steal things. And so now he's locked up. And so when we got the EVP that we got from him last time, when we said, you know, we asked him, you know, do you like being in there or whatever? And his response was, I'm stuck in this box. And it's just as clear as day as that. And the other one that we actually got from that night, because if you research Peace Bottom, what you get is like Midsummer's Night Dream, and it talks about peach blossom. And so we were having that conversation, like, oh, it's saying peach blossom. And you just hear this little voice come on, go, I'm not the blossom.
Really?
Yeah. And we're just like, wow, that's insane. I feel like he's been turning. Like he's starting to turn to look another direction. I was like, I think we need to go back and look at some pictures and see if he really is turning, or maybe if it's our imagination. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people say that he's starting to turn to look the other direction. So I don't know.
Knowing what you know about Peace Bottom and the stories that are associated with him, was there any hesitation in trying to get this haunted doll into your possession? I mean, all three of you trying to buy this thing at the same time. Is it, I mean, I get it. I get, you know, the excitement, the fascination, this would be perfect for your museum. But did you feel any risk? Was there any, you know, fear involved in getting your hands on this thing? Or were you willing to take on whatever may come along with such a thing?
I think I'm a bit more the brave one out of the three. And so, of course, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'll take a nap with them. Jeremy and Poulsen, you know, Jeremy had brought it down to the building and I wasn't there. So it was him and Poulsen at first. And Poulsen messaged me and he said, that's one thing I'm never messing with. Like, I'm not going to make fun of it, because Poulsen likes to aggravate things sometimes. It's just his personality and we have to sometimes bring him back. And so they were just like, yeah, we're not messing with it. We're just going to put it there. We're going to tell people to be nice. Like, this is not something you want to mess with. I mean, he kind of gives off a creepy vibe, but I'm just like, yeah, I'll take a nap with them. So they they did leave it out for me for like the first weekend. And I'm just like, he's really cool. Like, I have no fear when it comes to stuff like that. I'm not really sure why. I just don't. People are always warning me, hey, you're going to get possessed. And I just like, I raised four kids by myself. I can handle anything. yeah, he doesn't creep me out, but he definitely creeps out Poulsen and he definitely creeps out Jeremy. But they still love him just as much. I mean, we all do. He's just the coolest thing. And the building itself, the front door has a deadbolt lock on it that didn't work. It's been painted shut. Like, I had to rig it so I could lock myself in at night for fear of people breaking in there. Mm-hmm. But Poulsen came down there. It was like a week after we had Peace Bottom and couldn't get in the building because this deadbolt that never worked was now deadbolted shut. And I am the first one to say, I didn't even believe him. I was like, no way. There's mm-hmm. no way that thing is working. You are so full of it, blah, blah, blah. And so the first time I went back down there and I was like, I had to try it myself. And I was like, no way.
Wow.
Couldn't believe it. Could not believe it. I mean, that was, and we related to Peace Bottom. So
have you ever, when you have those objects and you take a nap with the haunted doll or just any interactions with it, do you have any repercussions from it? Do you feel anything from the doll, or could it just be as impact on you just the same as if you bought a teddy bear at Target, where it doesn't seem to affect you in any way, shape or form? And is that why you have kind of the confidence that you do about it? Because those things don't seem to affect you the way that maybe it affects other people.
I don't think it affects me how it affects other people. Like, I can definitely, you know, feel there's something there. And I know, like, the EVPs we've caught and the activity we've caught on camera, and there's all this evidence and proof and things that happen. I just don't think anything's going to hurt me. And I mean, I've been doing this for, you know, almost 6 years, and now the solo investigations, I've done them at the Stevenson building, you know, completely by myself, you know, and I feel like I'm just protected. And mm-hmm. so things will, I don't think, ever go too far. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, and I have video of this too, because I would just wake up in the morning and hit record. The building itself, you know, sleeping there, I think it would try to, you know, one of the first things that, you know, happen a lot of times is they interrupt your sleep, mm-hmm. Because that can cause mood swings and whatever. And it's a way of, you know, getting to people. And so what would happen is whenever the building decides I'm done sleeping, I would be woken up by the sounds of, you know, furniture moving, the mannequin getting thrown, the door opening, you know, walking upstairs, to the point the walking and the movement that goes on upstairs has been so obnoxious to the point where we've gone upstairs with our gun drawn, thinking there's people who have broken in and there's never anybody there. You can hear people having conversations. There's nobody there. So, I mean, it will, I think, sometimes try to just get me to not sleep or to aggravate me or something, but I don't live there. Mm-hmm. And if it gets to that point, I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to leave now.
Yeah. Like,
you want to be left alone? Fine. And I think that's a lot of why I'm not so worried, because they have boundaries. Mm-hmm. And if they want to show me their boundaries and I respect them, then it's fine. You know, so
you almost have like a very, like a kind of an unsaid understanding, it seems, kind of with that world, that you respect them and they respect you, and it hasn't gone, you know, to any sort of length where it you know, has changed that opinion for you. What has made you decide to investigate by yourself? Because obviously, I'm sure you've heard it from 1,000 people of, well, that's a bad idea. You want to have somebody there, this or that. Do you feel you get better results with that method? What kind of drove you to attempt that and go in that direction?
There's kind of a lot of things that went into that. And I will put out there that even though I'm in the building alone and I'm doing it alone, I always have somebody outside in a car, or, you know, basically I have someone guarding the perimeter, because people know where I'm at. And I mean, that can be dangerous. It's advertised. So for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, a month, people know where and when I'm going to be in a certain place. So I always make sure that I have somebody, you know, outside guarding the place. Okay. And, you know, just keeping an eye so no one's breaking in.
Sure.
But the reason that I started really doing it is because I just started feeling like it's really difficult for me, you know, because like I said, I get very skeptical of evidence. Like, mm-hmm. What could that be? Could that be something else? Can I explain it away? If I remove other people from the situation, it can't be other people. So that was kind of the start of it. Like, I don't want that interference. I want to know that if I hear a footstep upstairs, there's no way there's anybody up there. There's no question. There's absolutely no question. If something gets thrown and I'm the only person in there, there's no question. And then I started thinking, well, if I do a live feed, everybody can see where I'm at, what I'm doing. One of the first ones that I did was at the Squirrel Cage Jail, and there's an apartment upstairs where the warden used to live. And new people that were never really into the paranormal started watching me do these solo investigations. And that was one of those nights. And so I went to the top floor and they saw me go in. They saw me shut the door. Then I walked around to the back of the apartment, sat down, and people kept saying, "What is all that noise?" And we all kept hearing all this noise up front. So I said, "Well, let's go check it out." I go up there and the door is wide open. And so it really gets rid of a lot of doubt, especially because you're live. I can't fake that, mm-hmm. You know, and there's no interference. I also feel like being alone, I can concentrate more. I can hear better. I can understand better. It's also, I think, less alarming to whatever spirits might be there. Like when you have 3 or 4 people and someone's walking around going, "Oh my God," you know, mm-hmm. They're probably like, "Who is this nut job?"
Sure.
You know, it's basically based on, you can have a deeper conversation alone with somebody one-on-one than you can have a conversation with 1 on 10. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's making it more personal. It opens yourself up more. And then I think, you know, one of the things I've always been based on since day one is no BS. You know, if something happened, it happened. If it didn't happen, it didn't happen. I want people to believe what I'm saying. And I think this is the best way to show that. And I've gained a lot of trust from a lot of people. And that's the whole point of the paranormal field, to prove that it's there. You can't do that if you're being fake. And so I just want to make sure people know that I'm telling the truth.
That wraps up part 2 of our conversation with Christy Williams. A big thank you to her for joining us on the program and sharing her experiences with us. And a thank you to you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We could not do it without you. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
What's up, Uso? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.